from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer Geo, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I just got a text. I know you got to reset the show and everything, but I have to share the text. I think he wants me to share the text. So I'm going to share the text.
Okay, all right.
You know how we were talking about Jerry Recco should be in the running for the Knicks job, kind of like Mike Breen was when he was working with Imus.
Yeah, that is true. That's
makes,
a good comparison.
Makes a lot of sense.
Ton of sense.
Make it happen.
Get him there. Make the ton of sense.
Yeah, Carton told me this morning that he wants to be the Knicks play-by-play guy.
Wow. You know what? That'd be interesting. He could do both. He could do...
Both what?
The FS1 stuff, and then he could also do the Knicks job, and I know that...
What's the FS1 stuff?
Well, he's got a show on FS1. What do you mean, what's the FS1 stuff? You know that, right?
I thought there was a new show.
I don't know.
What do you mean? It was reported there's a new show.
I didn't see that there was a new show. I don't know. I know that
Al,
he's
is
on...
Is there a new show?
Oh, there's a new name and a couple new co-hosts, but he is still on there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's still on there, right? What's the new name?
That I don't remember.
Okay.
Well, regardless.
It's real catchy then.
I don't recall seeing it.
I think it's called Not the Craig Carton Show.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie.
So he could do that, and then also the Knicks play-by-play. And I know him and the Garden, you know, they've got a good relationship. I think Dolan likes him a lot. I think that's... boy, that would suck for Jerry if Jerry lost out to Craig on the Knicks play-by-play.
That would be awful. You'd think that Craig would work out like a deal with the Garden to have like the Carton Grill?
Oh, look, there's Jerry doing Rutgers stuff there. Look at him. He's a seasoned vet.
I know.
He is a seasoned vet. You know what's funny, though, is like Jerry does this thing where he goes, I don't know who to reach out to. How about trying to figure that out?
I mean, I know how to I can reach out to somebody like right now.
Yeah, but he does like, I don't even know the first person to even try to do this. I mean, it can't be that hard. You've been in the business for 30 years. You should be able to find somebody, right?
Yeah, but you also think that, you know, he could... Could you imagine his cornhole league in the Garden? Like to have the championship game in the Garden, like at halftime of the Knicks?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That really would be. Him and EJ and the whole Monday night cornhole league at Madison Square Garden.
It would be great.
And they'd let him have it for free probably for that day because it costs a lot to open the Garden doors. So I'm sure they just let him do it.
You know, you just got to have one person turn on the lights so they can just throw some bean bags.
Throw some bags.
Yeah.
Throwing bags, man. By the way, since we're on something else, anyway, Al was out last week. So there were two callers that called up that got through that would never get through with you, but they actually worked out, and I kind of think that we could sprinkle them in occasionally. So one is Brett, who's a small doses guy, but like if Brett drives somebody crazy, you know, having him on to talk about it once a month maybe, he'd be fine. The other one is a guy that you did let on once, but only allowed him on once, who delivered two spectacular phone calls to us last week. And I was worried because he called again the next day. And I was like, what is this going to be? Is this going to be Home Alone 2? Is this going to be Empire Strikes Back? Or is this going to be Godfather 3? Like, what sequel are we going to get from Brady in Newport Beach? And he delivered again, back-to-back calls. So if you see Brady in Newport Beach, you got to let him on.
Yeah, I'm not even familiar with him.
Yeah. So you let him on once years ago, I think, about something. And then apparently he claims, but he's a nut job.
And is he the one I had to dump four times?
Yes.
But he likes to say the S word a lot.
But he was so good that we let him continue after the four times.
It was a little bit bizarro world, yes.
Yeah, the thing is with the software here for screening phone calls, if somebody was just on the air on any show within the past day or so, they come up red, so I don't even pick them up.
Yeah.
I'm not dodging, sir. I do dodge a lot of people.
And I think Brett comes up red no matter what.
Oh, yeah. He comes up burgundy. Whatever the deepest red is, that's what Brett comes up as. Yeah, I mean, this Brady, though. Would you agree, though, Eddie, that Al would actually enjoy Brady occasionally?
Yes.
Occasionally.
But there's in Newport Beach, California, it's 3 different. In the morning there. Who knows what the hell he's doing? And he has some very interesting takes.
Yeah, the California callers are strange because of the time of day they're calling.
Yeah, you gotta. Jerry has it somewhere. If you ask Jerry, he made it moment of the day, or he replayed it on Friday. He actually, the first call, because it happened late. So the first call that Brady had last week, Jerry couldn't turn around for moment of the day, but he said, this is how funny Jerry thought it was. He goes, go pull that so when we do a best of show at the end of the year, I want to play it back. That's how, now I'm probably overselling it, but that's what Jerry said. He was nuts, that guy. Completely nuts. So if you see him, we can put him on at some point. All right. Let's go. We have to.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
We have to?
100%.
We have to.
Yes, you do.
Just a couple. Let's go to Frank in Connecticut. What's going on, Frank? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, Frank. Man.
What's happening, brother?
All right. I saw and met Joe DiMaggio in the late 40s. I was a kid from Brooklyn. He was my idol. I got into a lot of fights with all the Brooklyn Dodger fans. It was like today in politics. But we spoke afterwards. Anyway,
was he a good guy? Because there were a lot of talk about him not being the nicest when you saw him out in public.
No. Well, I was probably around 6 years old in the late 40s.
Well, he had to be nice to him then, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and my parents went to this restaurant, I believe it's called La Polina's, and I had a DiMaggio shirt on. And so we go into the restaurant, and the waiter comes over and says, who's your favorite ball player? I said, Joe D. And he asked my parents, could he take me into the back? And they said, yes. I walk into the kitchen, sitting in the corner with a great suit on, is Joe DiMaggio eating pasta. And they bring me over to him, and he said, Joe, I want you to meet one of your biggest fans, Frankie. He shakes out his hand, and he says, how you doing, Frankie? I said, okay. I said, how are you, Joe D? And he says, I'm doing fine.
Man, it sounds like a scene out of a Scorsese movie here. Like, doesn't it? I mean, what a memory to have, Frank. I mean, what an absolute memory to have. But, I mean, yeah, you heard stuff about Joe DiMaggio, like he was, like you'd catch him if you were not a six-year-old kid wearing a Joe DiMaggio jersey, that he was probably didn't have the time of day for you.
Well, maybe that was Frank Laterza's memories.
Bob Laterza.
Oh, Bob Laterza.
We've screwed his name up.
Frank, Bob, Bill.
Frank, Bob, Laterza, Tony. Laterza.
Tony.
You say Laterza, I say Laterza. Richie in Queens, what's going on, Richie?
Hi, Saul Williams in 1960. Kobe Cannon, go! Kobe Cannon, go!
He got you! He got you! He got you! Unbelievable!
Al, you got caught, Al.
Oh, my God! Oh, you Cannon guy! Unbelievable that he got through.
I can't believe it.
That's the first time ever. And he picked the perfect topic to do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
He did it to my boy Steve Moore over the weekend.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I heard it.
He got to go, Buchanan, go again?
Yeah.
Wow, that's your first one, isn't
it? Yeah, he gave me a good story, too. He was good.
He broke your Buchanan hymen on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks, dude. Yeah, that's tough.
That guy sits there and he just waits for a topic to percolate.
And he knows, too, that I recognize his voice immediately, so he went right into Go Buchanan Go. He didn't, like, take us for a ride in the beginning.
Yeah, but that's where, like, to me, it doesn't really count. Because
counts because he got past Al.
I got past Al, but normally there's a conversation for about 15 to 20 to 25 seconds, and
yeah,
then he hits you with that.
Right, and I'll know that it's him, and I'll be like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, and enough, or I'll text you overnight. This is a Buchanan guy. Man.
But he's using some sort of software that changes his phone number.
Every time.
Yeah, so he's like a new caller every time.
Yeah. He's got an app. He's got the app on his phone.
But he's been doing this for years. I mean, and I guess he had to change, because back in the day, we didn't have the caller ID, so it was easier for him.
You got to be some sort of, like, strange human being.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
To make this thing your thing.
Why does he like Pat Buchanan?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, because he started the Go Buchanan Go back many years ago when Pat Buchanan was actually
running for something.
And I think just it's become his thing. You know, and then now he's just a Buchanan. It used to be Wildebeest was another thing that he used to do.
What do you think, like, he tells his friends? Do you think he tells his friends these stories that
I'm the Buchanan guy? No, I don't think so.
Or he just keeps it to himself?
I think he probably keeps it to himself. He's probably like a doctor, too. You know what I'm saying? He probably has some prestigious job somewhere. He might be like a dean at Columbia. Like, I just would not be surprised. You know, and this is just his little secret. Like, instead of having a drug problem or dressing in women's clothing or having some sort of weird fetish, like, this is his thing.
This is his thing.
This is his one thing, the Go Buchanan Go stuff. Which is just, like, I used to hate his guts because, you know, I was producing Joe and Evan, and, you know, for many years, there's talk shows here that just didn't want to have fun, right? Like, before you guys started, you know, they didn't want to have fun. So, like, Go Buchanan Go guy would come on, and then they would just dump him and move on and, like, not look into it,
not actually refer back to it, yeah, that kind of thing, yes.
They just go, like, to me, it's like, come on, let's, like, talk about the Go Buchanan Go guy. It's fascinating. So he would essentially ruin the show because he would throw Joe Beningo for a loop, you know? It's just like, he wouldn't, it was like giving a mouse a pill of some sort and like a trial. It would just like start stumbling around and have no idea where he was going.
So when
this
would
happen.
When you were answering the phone and you recognize his voice and you put him, would you put him through knowing
No. But for years he would get me.
Yeah.
He was so good. For years he would get me and I'd be like, you know, I'd be like, Buchanan guy.
Yeah.
And then finally I got good enough to figure it out before the call screening software. I was good enough to figure it out and I had a conversation with him. I was like, man, like, why do you do this? And he was just like, ah, it's fun. I don't know. You see him, I'm like, what do you do for a living? He wouldn't tell me. He told me his real name. And we just had, like, this conversation. And it was interesting, but he still does it. He's still there. Still going strong in 2024. Yep. You missed Buchanan guy, Eddie.
I heard it in the bathroom. Very funny.
He got passed out. Man, you know what? Fall Al wouldn't have. Football season Al, that wouldn't have happened.
No way. No way that happens.
Because, you know what? We're 2 days away from having another week of vacation. If Buchanan guy calls on a Wednesday in October, doesn't get past Al.
I think he would.
Oh, really? Was that
good?
Yeah,
he was good.
He was that good.
You were right. You said the perfect topic. And so Al is going to treat those people who are calling about the old ball players a little differently,
a little different lens. So he's out there, he's scheming, he's listening, and he knows that there's a topic that Al could be had on. And he used that topic and used the fact that you were probably going to be a little bit softer on your call screening skills because you're going to let the older people call in and let them talk because you're a nice guy. And then he used that against you exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's how skilled he is. He also, when he calls up and does regular phone calls with the overnight guys, he always brings Al up. Always brings, like, that Al Dukes. Hey, well, I'm waiting for the warm-up show with that Al Dukes. Like, I think that Al Dukes was his Moby Dick. Like, I think that him getting past Al, like, that might be the last Go Buchanan Go call ever. That's why he got to it so quickly, too. He's just like, I got to get it out because this may never happen again. He may retire now. That might be it. He may be going out like John Elway.
This is the big fish.
He got him.
The big fish, man.
He got him.
Al, how does that make you feel?
Well, the problem is I still don't know how he sounds. Like, he would be able to get through right now again.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't prepared for that. I wasn't prepared to defend that because I've never had to defend it before.
And if I'm correct, Al, didn't he come up green? So he has.
Yeah, we mentioned he's got some sort of software.
He's got an app on his phone.
Man, for years he's been doing this and then just changing with the times.
And we're going back 30 years. So
close to
30.
Do you? I don't know if you have it. Do you have the one where Moose and Dog were on a remote in St. Louis in 2006 at the NLCS?
What?
When somebody left the room?
Yeah.
And he ran out of breath?
And he ran out of breath because no one was in the control room and they were on remote. And he was going, go, we get it. Like, that was probably, like, other than today, like, that was his biggest moment, I think.
Yeah.
We can probably find that somewhere. John and Wantall, what's going on, John?
Hey, you guys aren't the only victim of that guy, you know.
No, I know. I was listening Saturday, and I like to listen to Stephen Moore talk about finances. He called him, and he got him, and Steve Moore just actually went right above it, just kept going.
Right,
and,
but he does this segment on 77 at like 5 in the morning where the guy at the host there will give you at the end of the show like 15 seconds of fame where you can say whatever you want as long as it's not cursing or being disrespectful. So he'll get on and just rant for 15 seconds. Go, Buchanan, go. Go, Buchanan, go. And then you should actually listen to this because your former colleague, Sid Rosenberg, there's a guy for years that's been doing it to Sid. The guy will come on and go, She's a moron.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's me who does that, by the way. The
amazing thing is that this Buchanan guy's a legend. I know he's a legend for us, but I'm talking about to the listeners out there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he is, you know, and it's interesting because he's so good at it, but he doesn't use your traditional prank call jokes. Like, he doesn't curse. He doesn't say anything that you have to dump. He's chosen these things like Go Buchanan Go and Wildebeest to leave his mark.
Wildebeest.
You know?
This morning, that was just like you have that one trick play. You have one opportunity to use it.
And he used it. Season. And it worked.
And it worked.
It was a flea flicker. You got hit with the flea flicker.
He Philly specialty right there.
Yes.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Odyssey Lottery Recap presented by Jack Pocket. Powerball is now $34 million. By the way, when it happened, I stood up. Like, that was my natural reaction. I was like, Buchanan, yeah! I'm sure CBS Sports Network could replay that. I was genuinely stunned.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Get to Jerry Recco's update in just a second, but Just to recap in that last segment, a longtime prank caller, the Buchanan guy, tricked Al Dukes, which was his Moby Dick, his white whale. He was never able to do it for years. Somehow Al was able to avoid him, and without even really knowing his voice or anything about him, which is, that's what makes Al so good. He just knew that, I'm sure he picked up Buchanan guy many times. He's like, no, like, I'm not doing it, not even knowing it's a Buchanan guy. But he got through. Today, the conditions were right. You know, it was perfect. The winds were correct. The sun was out. It was just perfect for Buchanan guy to call up, because we were talking about how many people in our listening audience saw Babe Ruth play, and he just, boom, right in. And those are the things that Buchanan guy loves. So prior to today and getting on through Al Dukes, I think his biggest moment on WFAN was all the way back in 2006. Where Chris Mad Dog Russo was out in St. Louis during the Mets Cardinals NLCS, and they were on remote, and Moose was out there with him because he was producing the show, and then Moose just came on the air with Late Night after the game. They were doing like an impromptu post-game show. There was a former producer, Rick Bonacorsi, who was known for checking out at times. That was his legacy here. And you get this combination, Late Night, Rick Bonacorsi, Moose and Dog on remote, and he smelled blood in the water.
You know, they get on top of the Babe for trying to steal second and in the 26th World Series. You got to remember, they couldn't hit Pete Alexander. That's one of the reasons why the Babe tried to steal second. Go, Buchanan, go! Go, Buchanan, go! Go, Buchanan, go! Go, 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 go,
yeah, all right. Good times. Rick.
We give you a little more tip. Rick's on top of it tonight. Versus Midnight Radio here.
At least Moose has got a good...
It took a while to disconnect.
Oh, my. I think it was about 35 seconds.
Rick, are you there? Rick?
I'm here.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. I gotta love Moose. Right. At least Moose could laugh at it.
No, I know. Yes. Yeah. Which was great. But I just love Dog, who he can't do anything about it because he's on remote. All right, we got you. Okay. Go, Buchanan. Goes. Ran out of breath. Go back.
It's amazing. It's the things like that.
I found Rick.
Rick Bonacorsi?
Yeah. He's a college and career counselor.
Nice.
Wait, did you find him on LinkedIn? I just searched his name, and it came up on LinkedIn, yes.
Yeah, there you go. See? That's where you need to be. That? LinkedIn. Get LinkedIn.
Yeah, I heard you yesterday, yeah.
He wasn't long for board hopping, and I think that he's probably would agree with that. I don't feel like I'm crushing him here. I just think that that was not his thing.
Rick Bonacorsi.
How do you remember these names?
I don't know. They were my peers at the time, you know?
Yeah, it's fair. Okay.
And he was also famous one time, because, you know, sometimes Dove would be a little late on a Sunday morning to relieve him from that.
Yeah.
And he came in, Dove did, criticizing Rick for playing two commercials back to back. But now it was like 6:05. Dove was supposed to be on at 6. And Rick just said, get here on time next time, and walked out.
You know what? I appreciate that attitude. That good for Rick.
Yep.
Exactly. Get your ass here on time. If you're 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late.
And Dove had nothing to say, actually, yeah. So, which is rare.
All right, Jerry, let's get into the update. That's what's wild. Going on this hour?
Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Jackpocket, order official state lottery games on your phone.
First pitch to Soto's hammer to the air, deep center field. On his horse, Lane Thomas still on the track. He looks up and it's gone.
Juan Soto!
Onto the netting in Monument Park in straightaway center. For the second night in a row, Juan Soto lights him up in the first inning here in the Bronx.
The great thing about
him. A two-run homer, Yanks up 2-0.
Everything.
Well, everything's great about him. I don't know how strong his arm is, but I will say he hits lefties just as good as, if not better than righties. He stays right in there.
I have to admit, you were right.
Okay.
On Juan Soto. Watching him every day, he's pretty damn good. He doubled at that home run. He had 5 RBIs. Yankees won 8-1. Oh, and then there's Aaron Judge. He homered twice. He's got 47 on the season. Here was Soto. What impresses you about Judge?
I would say his power. He's just incredible. And the consistency that he has.
Yep. And then there was Judge. They make a great duo.
Yeah, that's what's great is
You know, if I don't usually come through, Juan's in front of me either driving somebody in or doing something special. You know, if Juan walks or doesn't come through, you know, I'm right behind him trying to do some damage. So it's fun. We're really feeding off each other. We got a great lineup.
Mm. I got a question for you. I don't know what the answer to this is, and it's... So the Yankees sell out pretty much every game, would you say?
Or close to.
Close to it. Is the attendance more this year than it was last year with Juan Soto in the lineup?
I mean, I would say that it definitely is.
I'm just trying to figure out a way the Yankees are going to be able to afford Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole and Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, the reason why it's more is because that team stunk last year.
All right, so last year they averaged 42,000 for home games.
Okay.
All right. That's this year. Last year, that was this year. This year they're averaging, this can't be right. This says they're averaging 40.8. They're averaging less.
Oh, the economy sucks.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
They stunk last year.
I don't know.
So my point is, I was just wondering if there is a palatable difference at the box office with Juan Soto in the lineup.
Can't be right.
Yeah, I'll text somebody at the Yankees.
Yeah. Let's see here. This is another one. This is saying this season 40,595 is their average. And then if I put in 2023, 4,358.
Wow.
So there's really no difference whatsoever.
So he's not making him any more money at the gate?
Yeah. Merchandise. What do they make on merchandise? I don't know.
Everybody's got to move merch. Some merch.
Merch tent.
Yeah.
And hit up the merch tent before we go.
Hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. I would have thought a big bump, too. You also had BT in the booth, as we know. And I'm with him on this one.
Stephen Kwan last night, he went 0-for-4 with 3 walks. The 1-0. It's in there for a strike. That shows you how long last night's game was. 4 hours and 5 minutes for a 12-inning game. And Kwan played all of it.
I really hope that's not a complaint. My radio show's 4 hours. So you have 5 more minutes. Big deal. Come on.
I like it. And then he went on to say, yeah, it's too long of a game, but still. New York leads Baltimore by a half game for first place in the AL East. Gerrit Cole with a start today against Gavin Williams on the Fan at 105. The reason why they moved ahead of the Orioles, because the Mets helped them for the second time in 3 days.
Payoff pitch. Swing on a high fly ball. Well hit left center. Mullins going back at the track, at the wall. It's gone. Put it in the box. The Mets win it again against Dominguez. And only now does Winker, after firing down his helmet and batting gloves, step on first base and start his triumphant tour around the bases. A game-winning home run. The Mets have won the ball game 4-3.
He said he blacked out.
Holy
It looks like.
Right? I don't know. Something happened.
He lost his mind. Howie Rose on WCBS 880. Winker, the game winner. 4-3, the final. He was on SNY afterwards. So much fun.
Hey, this place is lit. This place is unreal. I love it. I love this shit. We need everyone. We need everyone for real. So we appreciate y'all. Happy to be on this side. Let's go Mets.
Francisco Lindor and Mark Vientos with home runs as well. Carlos Mendoza thrilled to get the rubber game.
Huge series for us, especially winning 2 games the way we did it. Walk-off homers and against a really good team. Both.
That is true.
They're showing the Gatorade dump on him. Like, I've never seen anybody just stand there and take it like he took it.
He wanted it.
He embraced it.
He did.
Well, was that Carlos Mendoza almost saying bull bleep?
Huge series for us, especially winning 2 games the way we did it, walk-off homers, and against a really good team. Both times we had the lead.
You stopped it there, okay. That's Sorry. What happened, yeah.
Yes, he was back. Imagine if he just randomly dropped bull S in the middle of that.
He did not.
That would have been something.
Edwin Diaz got the win, but it was Sean Manaea that retired the first 17 batters he faced and hit a batter, gave up a home run. So were you starting to think perfect game as you were getting through this thing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's hard not to think about that stuff. And, you know, it's definitely going through my mind. And, yeah, Just definitely thought about it.
And just didn't get it done. Mets in San Diego tonight. Start of a big series. Luis Severino and Dylan Cease, the starters. 9:40 first pitch. Mets trail the Braves by a game and a half for the third wild card as Atlanta fell to Philly.
Tying run at third. Winning run at second. Two outs. Bottom of the ninth. Estevez kicks the 0-1. Swing and a ground ball towards first. Harper smothers it near the bag. Picks it up. Steps on first and the game is over.
It wasn't easy, but Harper makes the play. 3-2 was the final. Here was Harper on it.
Yeah, I didn't want to get Buckner for sure. I think that that was the big thing. Just trying to smother the best I could.
And he did with the guys on second and third. Would have been, if that would have gone by him, would have been the game winner for Atlanta. Instead, the Phillies wind up winning 3-2. Brandon Marsh, the go-ahead sack fly and RBI. All right, the Giants and Jets had this this joint practice yesterday. A lot of the video looked great on the Jets side. I'm not so sure how good or bad the Giants thought it was. Here was Rob Saleh. Says, yeah, this was some pretty serious work.
There's balancing that. You're not trying to drive them into the dirt where you're exposing them to injury risk, but at the same time, they've got to get ready. And I think the veterans who know what it used to feel like are really appreciating this because it's reconnecting them to how they used to prepare. And the younger guys, they really don't know the difference.
All right, so some of that was the kind of the nuts and the bolts. Aaron Rodgers had a bunch of good throws. The clip that's kind of gone viral, if you will, was Sauce Gardner being asked about Daniel Jones. Here's the first part of it that seems fine.
He's a good quarterback. You feel me? I thought I was about to pick him off today. I had a little cloud rip. You know, he had looked at the last minute to try to throw the check down to Wandale. You know, I thought I had to pick, but he kept it.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
No, not at all. I mean, it wasn't effusive in his praise.
No, but
he said he's a good quarterback.
Right. You feel me?
And he stopped before he was able to jump her out and didn't make the throw.
Yeah.
That could have been a disaster. All right, seems fine. This is what's kind of gotten people crazy as he would continue.
The competitive periods, it was very competitive, man. It was great. Like, I had fun out there today, you know. I don't really know what to say.
And he's not a man who doesn't find words.
Right.
Like, now, difficult. He's always talking.
I did watch this. He is clearly looking left and laughing at something.
He's distracted.
Trying. There's no doubt. And then he posted, I said he's a good quarterback. I was distracted. Chill. That's what he posted. But people are going crazy with that second part. So
yeah. He stinks?
He didn't say that.
Sucked ass.
He didn't say that either.
He implied it. Definitely implied it.
Did you also see that he's building the golf thing in his garage?
Yeah, simulator.
Or whatever the hell
that's
it is.
That's right. Yeah, he's got that simulator down there.
That's pretty nuts. The Broncos have their starting quarterback, Sean Payton.
A lot of times, even in a preseason game where you think it went really well, you can put the tape on, point to the penalties, point to a handful of the things maybe directly that he has to improve on. But I think, you know, the first impression in the spring was real positive.
And so it's Bo Nix's job. His reaction to learning that he won the position?
It was really cool. It's, not every day to get that news. But obviously, you know, as a room, we've been working hard and, you know, putting a lot of good things on film, putting a lot of good things, on the practice field.
So does this mean Zach Wilson's the third quarterback?
Yes, because it was between he and Jared Stidham, believe it or not. And I think the moment that Bo Nix stepped in that building, Sean Payton was gone. He's playing. I mean, he's old enough. He's played a lot in college. He showed enough in preseason practice before they got to the preseason games and then certainly took it out on the field in the preseason games. Hey, look, let me tell you something. The Giants passed on both Michael Penix and him.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if they made a mistake.
That's the point. I mean, you know, Sean Payton seems to be really jacked about this guy, and rightfully so. And the good thing that, well, I've seen on the tape that he's put out there thus far is probably a little bit more accurate on the run than I thought he was. He looked good. He really looked like he was in charge. Now, look, the regular season is a completely different animal. They open against Seattle. I don't know where that game is. If it's in Seattle, it's going to be a little bit of a wake-up call for him, how loud it is and how difficult it's going to be.
Sure.
And so we'll see. But I will say that almost all of these young quarterbacks, maybe with the exception of Drake May, have really stood out in preseason. And I think the reason the Falcons are not playing Michael Penix in these preseason games is they're afraid he's going to look too good. I think he's gonna. I think he has blown them away with his accuracy down there in Atlanta.
He's gonna look too good.
Yep.
Well, Kirk Cousins, they don't want a controversy there.
Yeah, but if Kirk Cousins plays well, he doesn't have to worry about it. He probably will.
But I'm just saying it is. Raheem Morris gushes about Penix Jr. What I saw in the first game that he played and every little thing going on at training camp down there, he's that accurate kid that we saw at Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks great.
I really thought Zach Wilson was going to win that job, man, you know. Really thought bringing that arm talent out there, that leadership quality that he was just going to blow those other two away.
I have Zach's back.
Just didn't happen. Which was a shocker. Then probably the biggest shocker to me in all of
playoffs with Zach.
And he didn't win that job.
One of the greatest days ever.
Oh, God, yes.
And the Cowboys signed former Giant Linval Joseph.
All right, thanks, Jerry. It's Boomer and Geo coming live at the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I think sometimes because we live in this crazy world that we're living in right now, we don't actually take stock of what's going on around us. We just are like, you know, that's just another crazy thing, and we move on. But so I will present this in this context. Let's go back to, I don't know, the year 2000. Let's go there. All right. You had the Al Gore, George W. Bush election. That was a pretty, I mean, you had the hanging Chad stuff and all that afterwards. Yeah. But just a little lead up to that, pretty normal presidential election, right? You had the son of a former president. You had the vice president of the guy who just served the two terms. It just, you know.
It felt normal.
Felt normal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So something like that. Now, fast forward 24 years. All right?
Bizarro land.
24 years. Now, if you go 24 years before 2000, at that point, you had, it was 1976. Things were crazy throughout history. Don't get me wrong.
70s weren't great.
But, you know, assassinations, whatever.
Right, yeah.
But he felt like the presidential elections were sort of normal, right, in the history that I was taught.
We only had really one place to get information.
Sure.
And that was the mainstream media. That was it.
All right. So then you go 24 years back then, then 2000. Now you go 24 years forward.
Okay.
Not only has Donald Trump been the president, but now he is running again. And you've got a man who's got a popular podcast named Theo Von interviewing him. Now, what was that movie with Nixon and the guy who interviewed Nixon? It was Frost Nixon. Remember Frost Nixon?
Of course, yes.
So think about Frost Nixon. And you got it? Got that in your head?
I have that in my head. Here's this esteemed journalist sitting down, you know, with an American politician, and they're going to discuss policies and geopolitical issues.
Exactly. And they call them out on things, Watergate, everything.
And it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. All right.
Yes.
So our Frost Nixon in 2024 is this.
I would just do cocaine. That was really, yeah. So
That's down and dirty, right?
Yeah, and this is.
But you don't anymore?
No, I don't do it anymore, man, and I'm not doing
it. Is it too much? Too much to handle?
Some of the stuff started to get a real rattle in it, too. I don't know where we were even getting it from in this country, but yeah, it started to make me feel like I was a mechanic or something.
So the thing you go back to then is alcohol for the most part.
Right, yeah, but what I want probably is cocaine, but I know that if I have a drink, then it'll be like, okay, well, I had a drink, then I can do this.
Is cocaine a stronger up?
Yeah.
So you're way up with cocaine more than anything else you can think of.
Cocaine will turn you into a damn owl, homie, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You'll be out on your own porch, you know. You'll be your own street lamp. You're freaking.
And is that a good feeling? Well,
no,
it's horrible. A miserable feeling.
But you do it anyway, just like the guy you're saying with the scotch. Like you.
All right, so that's the clip. That's a minute long clip,
which is amazing because you know Donald Trump doesn't drink,
no,
do drugs, doesn't do any of that stuff,
right?
Nothing.
So he's interested in this and he's asking questions. It'll turn you into an owl, homie. I really like Theo Vaughn and his podcast. He cracks me up, but it just was amazing watching this. And there's actually another piece of audio in there when he was talking about one of the last times that he had one of these crazy nights and drinking cocaine, and he said he was racing go-karts with hookers. To Donald Trump!
But he also said to Donald Trump, I don't know where we're getting this stuff from
in this country. Made me feel like a mechanic.
You know what? I would hire Theo Vaughn as my PR director. Put him up there in front of the press.
So that would be something. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, honestly. Like, of all the things that we have seen, I would not be surprised if that were the case. But yeah, just that's where we're at. You know, and it's funny because someone in... Because, I feel like the politicians themselves on both sides have somewhat of a handle on the media these days and what people are paying attention to. But you're seeing more and more, like Donald Trump did that video with Bryson DeChambeau, and
yes,
now he's sitting
down
with
Theo Vaughn.
More
and more of that stuff, realistic stuff, where they can reach different people that may not even know who they are or what they're running about or running for or what they're all about.
Right, exactly.
Which I think is smart. I mean, in this day and age, like, TikTok is a huge thing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, one side is paying influencers to support their side.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so, I mean, like, there's a lot of crap going on. You know that. I mean,
the way Donald Trump was interested in all this, too. And that was a good feeling or a miserable feeling. More up?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, that's down and dirty. What? Yeah. I listened to that on the way home. And I actually, because that clip was out there, I really thought that it would be great. Like, it would be an hour of straight comedy, but it wasn't. It was a little more tame. But there was that one clip about him saying, Donald Trump goes to Theo Vaughn, we had the greatest economy in the history of the United States when I was president. And Theo Vaughn goes, yeah, my cousin bought a boat.
I mean, well listen, it at least it adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
yeah. It was just very entertaining. Oh, yeah. So here's that clip. Al was able to find it quickly.
Every time we had the greatest economy in history when I was president, we had.
Oh, yeah. My cousin got a boat.
My cousin got a boat.
Little subtle things. If you listen.
All right.
So let me ask you a question, though. How was the overall interview?
It was okay. I mean, those two clips were hilarious, and then the thing with the go-karts and the hookers were hilarious. And then, like, there was something about, like, they were talking about Kamala Harris, and then Theo Vaughn said something like, she likes to roller skate or something like that. It came out of nowhere. But it was okay. I expected a little bit more from it. It's already, last night it had 5.5 million views on YouTube, so it's probably got more than that now.
So obviously, whoever told President Trump to go on this particular podcast, it's a success.
Yeah.
It was actually his son, Barron.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's what he told Theo.
Yeah, he said that Barron likes him a lot. It's a big podcast, and you should probably do it, I guess. So,
well, there you go.
There you go.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I think sometimes because we live in this crazy world that we're living in right now, we don't actually take stock of what's going on around us. We just are like, you know, that's just another crazy thing, and we move on. But so I will present this in this context. Let's go back to, I don't know, the year 2000. Let's go there. All right. You had the Al Gore, George W. Bush election. That was a pretty, I mean, you had the hanging Chad stuff and all that afterwards. But just the lead up to that, pretty normal presidential election, right? You had the son of a former president. You had the vice president of the guy who just served the two terms. It just, you know.
It felt normal.
Felt normal, right?
Yeah.
So something like that. Now, fast forward 24 years. All right?
Bizarro land.
24 years. Now, if you go 24 years before 2000, at that point, you had, it was 1976. Things were crazy throughout history. Don't get me wrong.
70s weren't great.
But, you know, assassinations, whatever.
Right, yeah.
But he felt like the presidential elections were sort of normal.
right? In the history well, we, when we, I was
we,
taught.
We only had really one place to get information.
Sure.
And right. That was the mainstream media. That was it.
All right. So then you go 24 years back then, then 2000. Now you go 24 years forward.
Okay.
Not only has Donald Trump been the president, but now he is running again. And you've got a man who's got a popular podcast named Theo Von interviewing him. Now, what was that movie with Nixon and the guy who interviewed Nixon? It was Frost Nixon. Remember Frost Nixon?
Of course, yes.
So think about Frost Nixon. And you got it? Got yeah, that in your head?
I have that in my head. Here's this esteemed journalist sitting down, you know, with an American politician, and they're going to discuss policies and geopolitical issues.
Exactly. And they call them out on things, Watergate, everything.
And it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. All right.
Yes.
So our Frost Nixon in 2024 is this.
Well, how did? No, I would just do cocaine. That was really,
That's down and dirty, right?
Yeah, and this is,
You don't anymore?
No, I don't do it anymore, man, and I'm not doing
it. Is it too much? Too much to handle?
Some of the stuff started to get a real rattle in it, too. I don't know where we were even getting it from in this country, but yeah, it started to make me feel like I was a mechanic or something.
So the thing you go back to then is alcohol for the most part.
Right, yeah, but what I want probably is cocaine, but I know that if I have a drink, then it'll be like, okay, well, I had a drink, then I can do this.
Is cocaine a stronger
up? Yeah.
You're way up with cocaine more than anything else you can think of.
Cocaine will turn you into a damn owl, homie, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You'll be out on your own porch, you know. Yeah. You'll be your own street lamp. You're freaking.
And is that a good feeling? Well,
no,
it's
horrible.
A miserable feeling.
But you do it anyway, just like the guy you're saying with the scotch. Like you.
All right, so that's the clip. That's a minute long clip.
Which is amazing because, you know, Donald Trump doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, doesn't do any of that stuff.
Right,
nothing.
So he's interested in this and he's asking questions. It'll turn you into an owl, homie. I really like Theo Von and his podcast. He cracks me up, but it just was amazing watching this. And there's actually another piece of audio in there when he was talking about one of the last times that he had one of these crazy nights and drinking cocaine, and he said he was racing go-karts with hookers. To Donald Trump!
But he also said to Donald Trump, I don't know where we're getting this stuff
in this country.
Yes.
Made me feel like a mechanic.
You know what? I would hire Theo Von as my PR director. Put him up there in front of the press.
So that would be something. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, honestly. Like, of all the things that we have seen, I would not be surprised if that were the case. But yeah, just that's where we're at. You know, and it's funny because I feel like the politicians themselves on both sides have somewhat of a handle on the media these days and what people are paying attention to, but you're seeing more and more like Donald Trump did that video with Bryson DeChambeau and
yes,
sitting
doing
down
more
with
and more
Theo
of that
Von.
Stuff, realistic stuff where they can reach different people that may not even know who they are or what they're running about or running for or what they're all about.
Right, exactly.
Which I think is smart. I mean, in this day and age, like TikTok is a huge thing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, one side is paying influencers to support their side.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so, I mean, like, there's a lot of crap going on. You know that.
The way Donald Trump was interested in all this, too. And that was a good feeling or a miserable feeling. More up?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, that's down and dirty. What? Yeah. I listened to that on the way home. And I actually, because that clip was out there, I really thought that it would be great. Like, it would be an hour of straight comedy, but it wasn't. It was a little more tame. But there was that one clip about him saying, Donald Trump goes to Theo Von, we had the greatest economy in the history of the United States when I was president. And Theo Von goes, yeah, my cousin bought a boat.
I mean, well listen, it at least it adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
yeah. It was just very entertaining. Oh, yeah, here's that clip. Al was able to find it quickly.
Time we had the greatest economy in history when I was president. We had
my cousin got a boat.
My cousin got a boat.
Little subtle things. If you listen.
All right.
So let me ask you a question, though. How was the overall interview?
It was okay. I mean, the those two clips were hilarious, and then the thing with the go-karts and the hookers were hilarious. And then, like, there was something about, like, they were talking about Kamala Harris, and then Theo Von said something like, she likes to roller skate or something like that. I don't know. It came out of nowhere. But it was okay. I expected a little bit more from it. It's already, last night it had 5.5 million views on YouTube, so it's probably got more than that now.
So obviously, whoever told President Trump to go on this particular podcast, it's a success.
Yeah.
It was actually his son, Barron.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's what he told Theo.
Yeah, he said that Barron likes him a lot. It's a big podcast, and you should probably do it, I guess. So,
well, there you go.
There you go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.